Welcome to season 4 of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help you navigate building a business as a faith-filled entrepreneur with business strategies and tips and encouragement in taking God-sized risks, operating in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and being bold as you step out in the confidence that we receive from Ephesians 3:20, knowing that God is working through you to do infinitely more than we might ask or think, giving God the glory every step of the way. Thank you for being here. We ask that you continue to download these episodes and share with your faith-filled entrepreneur friends. We need faith leading business more than ever right now. And we can't wait to be on this journey with you. My name is Jen Kleiber, owner of the educational consulting company, The Responsive Classroom, creator of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Community, and your host as we journey through this business building life together. Hello, friends. I'm so glad that you are back with us. I appreciate you listening to this podcast. So before we dive into the content about coaching today, I want to remind you about our free writing strategies for your business guide that you can download right now in the show notes. We know that we have to be constantly giving good value in the form of content to grow and nurture our people, but this is not always easy. So head to the link in our show notes or head to our website at thefaithfulentrepreneur.com and you can grab it there. Also, one more thing, thank you so much for downloading and sharing this podcast. If you have friends who are running their businesses in faith and wanting strategies for scaling, please continue to share. And if you are getting value, I would sure appreciate it if you would write a review. That just helps us out tremendously. So today I want to take a little break from content and faith and talk to you about coaching. Now, let me be transparent and just say that I'm a huge proponent of coaching. I am a coach and I have a coach, and I know that I would not have the ideas that I've had or see the growth that I've seen or move my business to the place where it is now without coaching. I know that for an absolute fact. So for a little background, I've been coaching in the educational space for the last 11 years. When I initially moved out of the classroom and into a coaching role, I sucked. I really sucked at it. I had a very good relationship. I was very good with kids and teenagers, but adults were just a whole other ballgame to me. I was very problem solution oriented. And so I just didn't understand why teachers wouldn't take my solution and do better, right? I was miserable because I felt like I had gone from a very impactful role as a teacher in the classroom to a glorified suggestion maker as a coach. And then I realized a few years into it that maybe I, and not necessarily the teachers, was the problem. And so as I shifted my mindset as a coach and I honed my skills and my ability to ask the right questions, which is really key, I saw the value of coaching and I saw my effectiveness as a coach skyrocket. I now see that coaching is one of my God-given gifts, and I'm thankful for that. And it's a skill that I am always trying to grow in. So I really had no intention of moving into coaching through the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, but God had other plans, as He often does. And after coaching many over the past 2 years through authentic conversations that moved into coaching, we're now opening this up to everyone. So if you already know, yep, that's what I need, then you can click on the link. We have that link in the show notes as well, or head over to our website, and I would love to talk to you. With that being said, I want to talk about two main things in this episode. If you are currently a coach, I want to give you 5 tips for coaching. And if you're thinking about doing coaching, your coach should do these 5 things, okay? So a good coach can. I'm going to run through these, and then we'll kind of talk about them a little bit more. Number one, verbalize what they are trying to coach in meaningful ways. When you have done something for a really long time and it kind of becomes second nature to you, sometimes it's hard to verbalize and break down what it is exactly that you're doing. And a good coach needs to be able to break that down. Number two, a good coach can ask good questions, often having an idea of the answers that they're looking for. right? Number three, a good coach has aligned goals with the person that they're coaching. Number four, a good coach can genuinely build the other person up no matter how much help the other person needs. And then number five, a good coach can connect quickly. So let's just take a look at each of these. To start, a good coach has to be self-reflective in a way that they can break down the steps to success. So for example, if you're working on growing your conversion rates and the coach tells you that you need to build your know, like, and trust factor. This is true, but the coach will need to be prepared with some tangible ideas on how to do this. However, this leads us to number two, a better coach will actually help the person they're coaching come up with their own ideas by asking the right questions. Let me give you an example in the education space. When I observe a classroom of a teacher that I'm going to coach, what I used to do was just write down all of my observations about the students, both positive and negative, and then I would go over those observations with the teacher, right? What I realized though was that this was a very limiting conversation, making it very one-sided. So now what I do when I go into a classroom is I still observe primarily what the students are doing, because that's my concern, not so much what the teacher is doing. And then if there is something that I want to talk to the teacher about, I quickly come up with questions around what I observed, right? So let's say that I notice that there are six kids kind of in the back of the room that are off task and on their phones, right? So I could go to the teacher and say, hey, I noticed that you've got six kids that are off task. What needs to happen with these kids, right? Or I can ask a question that says, so did you get the engagement that you were hoping for from all students? And if the teacher acknowledges, no, I really didn't, then I would say something like, okay, I kind of saw that too. So moving forward, what can we do with the instruction to try to bring all the kids on board, right? Now, I already have in mind some ideas to do this. Maybe the students need more time to discuss with their partner. Maybe we need to shorten the amount of time they have to work on something. Maybe they need more linguistic supports to help them actually do the task or understand what's happening. Maybe they could turn the task that they're doing, maybe they're bored, maybe they could turn that into a game, right? So I already have a lot of ideas in mind that the teacher can do, but if the teacher can come, you know what? I tried this strategy a couple weeks ago and the kids really liked it. I think I'm going to have them do that tomorrow to try to re-engage everybody. Great. Perfect. The teacher doesn't need my ideas, right? He just needed to be prompted to have his own ideas. The positive part about this too is that he's going to be a lot more apt to actually do that strategy because he came up with it on his own. Right? Now, if I ask the question, did you get the engagement you were hoping for from all of your students? And he says, yes, even though I know that they weren't engaged. As a coach, my job is to move him forward, not to let him stay where he is. So I'm going to have to come up with more questions, right? So I may say, hey, I know that most of your kids were on task, but I noticed a few in the back were on their phones. Were they supposed to be, or what were they supposed to be doing? And then that leads us back into the conversation. Right? So a good coach asks the right questions, sometimes with answers, not that those are the only answers, but you just want to be prepared with those ideas, but with the goal of moving the person they're coaching into their own ideas. Okay. All right. So in the business space, if you're working again on upping your conversions, which basically means that you want a higher percentage of your audience doing what you're asking them to do, whether that is clicking on a freebie, whether that is buying a course or buying a product, you want them to convert into just taking in your content into them actually doing something. But so let's say that you're coaching a client who wants to up their conversions. You don't want to just give them a list of ideas, right? You want to have that list of ideas. But as a coach, I want to know where your strengths are. I want to know what you're already doing. I want to try to figure out where the breakdown is happening. And then I want to brainstorm with you ideas to up those conversions. Okay, so I think that number three is pretty obvious, but before any coaching session, you want to make sure that you understand what the person that you're coaching is trying to achieve, right? You may look at their business and you may say, okay, I know that they need X, Y, and Z, but you guys need to have joint goals, in order to, for the person who's being coached to really see that movement. Also, if you don't have a clear goal or a clear target, sometimes the coaching can turn more into just conversations, and the person being coached may not have or may not recognize the growth that they're actually seeing. And we always want people to see the growth, right? And if you're being coached, you want to know that there is tangible growth. Okay, so how do you do this? Well, you can send out a form. You can ask them. If you are actually doing the coaching one-on-one, you can have a list of questions that on the first coaching session, you guys talk through. There's a lot of ways to do that. It's more about being intentional and making sure that we do it. Okay, number four, the person who is being coached, right? We've got to assume that they are the expert in their field. And while there may be gaps in their marketing or in their list building or in their content creation, they know their stuff. We have to make that assumption, and we have to value them as the experts in their field. So a good coach has to be able to see that and authentically build the person up for their actual strengths, right? Coaching often has a negative connotation attached to it. Like, I need help, so I need someone to come tell me what to do. I'm not doing this right, so I need you to come in and rescue me. But that's not really the case. Coaching should actually be super proactive, right? With the idea more of, I'm ready to move to the next step, and I want to get there the quickest and most effective way possible. So when we can shift that narrative from, I'm not doing a good job and I need help, to I'm ready to move to the next step, and I want to get there in the quickest and most effective way possible, we're going to be much more open to help. And we're also, if we're being coached, we're going to be much more of a participant in it instead of just as someone who's just getting information. So if you have a coach that is only focusing on the weaknesses, this is really a red flag and this is a problem. Okay, and then lastly, a coach needs to be able to connect quickly. If a coach is going to guide the person they're coaching into that person's best ideas, it needs to be a very safe place where people feel comfortable to brainstorm and throw out ideas. If the person that I'm coaching feels intimidated or feels like I'm going to shoot down an idea, or like I'm only focusing on the negative things that person is doing or the things that person isn't doing well enough, then that person is not going to feel confident to throw out an idea, even if maybe it's not the best idea. And so we're going to be limiting where we can go with that person. Does that make sense? So we've got to be able to connect quickly and create that safe space. So how do we connect quickly? Well, again, you look for and you acknowledge the strengths in the person. Here's the biggest one. You listen. You value them authentically, not just as numbers or a client, but as people who are experts in their fields. And when I go back to when I first started coaching in the educational space, this is probably the thing that I did not do well. I looked at the problem I saw with the students, and without listening to the person I was coaching, which was the teacher, I just gave a bunch of solutions, right? And so there was a disconnect there. I just firmly believe that we will not get to our highest potential without having a coach. Okay. So to recap, why do we need a coach? Number one, to help you think higher than you would on your own. Number two, for that coach to share ideas based on experience and research that you might not actually think of on your own, right? Number three, to hold you accountable on forward motion, because forward motion is always uncomfortable. There's always risk there. And so we need somebody to hold us accountable. And then number four, when we're taking that forward motion, we need a coach to have real empathy and real encouragement in the uncomfortable and in the discouragement that comes along the way, right? Because not everything will work. And so we need to have someone who's been there and who's a little bit further ahead in how they're running their business to say, oh, that's normal. What did we learn? Let's keep going. Okay, we're not getting the numbers that we want from our launch. Let's look at our marketing numbers and let's see where we need to adjust. A coach can help you with that. So whether you're just starting out, whether you are making six figures or whether you are making seven figures, my coach has a coach, right? I think that having a coach is so imperative. Last thing, no one likes to talk about money. But having a coach is an investment, and you have to think of it that way. The average coach is anywhere from $200 to $500 an hour. Now, if you're new to having a coach, that probably seems like a little much, but the ROI, or the return on your investment, is through the roof when you have a good coach. You are going to see growth and therefore profits so quickly, right? When you have somebody pushing you in that direction. So whether you go with me or you go with somebody else, you need to get a coach. And that coach needs to be somebody that can pull you along, that can guide you and direct you in your field. If you're in the online space, don't go to your dad's uncle who runs a hardware store and has for 50 years, right? Like, he's going to be able to have a lot of wisdom for you. But as far as like a coach that can really say, okay, next steps, let's talk about next steps, find somebody in your lane and invest in that person. So if creating and marketing content and operating in faith are goals of yours, I would love to coach you. And for a limited time, we are offering coaching sessions for only $97 per session, and even a little bit less if you do a bundle. You know the drill. Check out our website at thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com or click the link in the show notes to get more information and to sign up. And I just want to remind everyone that if you are a business owner or you are in the planning phases of being a business owner, jump into our Facebook group, The Faith Filled Entrepreneur, or follow us on Instagram at Jen_Kleiber to get business strategies, verses for guidance and encouragement, and just to have a community that celebrates each other and networks with each other and prays for each other. Always check out thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com to find out all that is going on and to get additional resources to help you build your faith and business. Please download and share these episodes. Leave a review if you find value in them. And we will see you next week on the Faith Filled Entrepreneur podcast. Bye for now.